So I'm here now with one of the featured authors of the day for yesterday, but he's still here today, which shows he's doing sterling work for Estonia, Mikkel Mutt. I really enjoyed your little discussion yesterday, and the way you didn't necessarily just play along with the game, as it were. You kind of were reasonably controversial, or at least kind of spoke your mind rather than going through the motions. I mean, what do you get from participating at this sort of event?
Frankly speaking, not very much personally. Though I always wonder if a future Nobel Prize winner came here with his valuable manuscript and walked here for 3 days around, and he would leave as he came and nobody would notice him, though it's not the place for the beginners. Fortunately, I'm not the beginner. I have something to follow up here. So there are possibilities to make some contacts. Mm. But that's the main purpose of book fairs. They are, see, you meet people here who are still upholding some old, not so old values. I mean, reading books that may be the species of, it's not forced into extinction, but it's getting narrower and narrower. And you see books here, and all those people, they love books in a special way. I'm not sure they all read them, but they love them the way the antiquariates and book collectors. That's not an investment for them, not like paint collectors. Yeah. But they don't read them necessarily, but they just love in their special way. They handle it like dumb animals, like Stefan Zweig put it.
Yeah.
And this, but for Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, let's face it, we are not so very enormous big countries. What is the definitive word in contemporary world? It's click. Mm-hmm. And everything is click. For individuals, how many clicks you get, or likes or clicks. And it's for the countries, it's for the cultures. And for us three states, it's one big click in the world map of culture. But the click lasts only so long. Tomorrow, so you must be clicking permanently. But anyway, you had to do this. If you are here, then you exist. Let's face it.
To quote Descartes.
Yeah.
One of the things I did like was your kind of iconoclastic approach, in that a lot of the business which is done here, the meetings and so on, they're all about, you know, pigeonholing someone, a certain genre, a certain type of writer. And you were very much kind of kicking against that, and your work as well. You know, it spans journalism to, you know, humour and serious literature, which can also be humorous, which I just love that you stand up for that as well as your membership of the Edmund Burke Society, which I didn't know that there was an Estonian Edmund Burke Society, so I'm reassured to hear that. But do you think, is it important that kind of iconoclastic writers such as yourselves kind of stand up to be counted at places like this, rather than just saying, you know, you can market me according to principle A, B and C?
I have never considered myself an iconoclast, even in my younger days. I was a young conservative from the beginning on. But what I hate is all kind of hogwash, hypocrisy. And when nobody speaks about how things really are, then I feel some sort of inner compulsion that I must stand up and do this. I'm not the type of person to run. I've never featured myself standing on the barricades. Just I hate it.
Yeah.
But everybody is just talking this damn political correctness.
Yeah.
I am fed up with it. And then in my way, through irony, I try to make a splash. That's you can call it intellectual honesty or integrity or something like this. If you see why Orwell is my favorite author, one of my favorite authors. I wonder what would he make all of this here about this immigration, correctness and things. I think he would write...
he certainly wouldn't be writing political correct tracts, would he?
no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So that's the point.
And is it also, I mean, do you feel there's a kind of constituency out there which is feeling, well, I must conform to whatever these societal morals are, and if they see someone like you, they feel, well, you can kind of kick things over a little bit and do what you feel is right.
I feel it, but I don't really mind it very much. Because I'm not so envy. I'm not so vain personally, though. I don't really mind. But you see, writer has become more and more an entertainer. He's so dependent. He's like a showman. He must play for the gallery. There's no escaping that. So he has to be a, what's the English for, konjunktur. Konjunkturist in Russian word. You understand what I mean?
Okay.
Who follows the whether right, what is correct?
Yeah.
And what sells?
Yeah.
He feels like in a market.
Yeah.
Huge marketplace. The world is a marketplace. More and more intellectual marketplace. Everything is good and product. Well, that disgusts me.
Well, the other thing that came out really strongly in your talk yesterday was the importance of history. And I loved this line you said, which was like, how can you say you're a conservative if you don't know history?
Right.
I just wondered if you could just recap that, because I just thought it was such a great point. Why do conservatives need to know history?
We should know history because it helps us to avoid many mistakes, and it helps us to, from reinventing the bicycle, things change, but they don't change in their essential pattern. They are very much the same. I have been reading about antique Greece and Rome societies for a couple of years, and I just come across how everything that exists now, minus the technology, almost everything has been already tried and tested, and some things have worked and some things haven't worked. So that's the use of history to prevent mistakes. And the other is, of course, the consolation you get. In English, it's the teacher in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything that will come has already been. Of course, you can't carry it too far, because if you know from the very beginning that everything has already been, then you won't kept trying to improve anything. So you shouldn't be too, in your young days, you shouldn't follow this teacher's proverbs too closely. History, contemporary man is cut off from this vertical line of existence. There is no future for us. We don't think about future anymore. The cosmic optimism is gone. We will never come in touch with other alien intelligent species. The past is irrelevant. What is? What Trump tweets on Tuesday, by Friday it's forgotten.
Yeah.
Because the cycle of news turns around so quickly.
But then that's not, he's not a conservative, is he? Because he's not based. I mean, if conservatism is something to do with conserving that which has pre-existed, then you need to know what it is you're kind of defending,
isn't it? If we look at the word very closely, at the etymological point of view, conservative, of course, means to preserve something. It implies you can preserve both good values and not so good things. Well, that's a tricky question. Yes, if we look now, what I am mostly, I'm not talking personal things, you don't mind. Yeah. What I am mostly concerned about is, of course, the fate of Europe, the immigration problem. I have studied how the Western Roman Empire, it disintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
The popular myth is that barbarians came, invaded, destroyed the Western Empire, but that's not the case. The barbarians wanted to be part of Roman society.
Mm-hmm.
They liked Rome. They never dreamt of destroying it. They wanted to be more Romans than the Romans themselves.
Yeah.
And if those who come today to Europe, Arabs and Africans, if they would like to be more European than we are, then I would greet them with my open arms.
Yeah.
But they don't want, and they don't want to destroy either. They just want to preserve this like some old people's retirement home where they can make a nice living and sit and just beg out. But what ideal can this be for us? We need somebody with vigor, energy, new impetus. And sometimes I had an idea that perhaps the Eastern Europeans could be these new barbarians. But it's to push it too far. Because, well, we have a certain type of energy that is unused for this half a century. We were put on the refrigerator and we have some energy. But over the past quarter of a century, perhaps it's fizzled out already to a certain degree, but not altogether.
Okay. And meanwhile, we should be reading Gibbon and Burke, it sounds like, from your recommendation.
Old Gibbon, that's not for the record now, but